Chapter 4. And would you grab that Bible on the end there? I think that's, is it the one on the end? Or is it that one? Mom, that's Mom's. Yeah, okay. Thank you. First John chapter 4. Title of the message tonight is Identifying the Devil. Somebody said, well, he shouldn't be too tough to identify. Well, he shouldn't, but you'd be amazed how many people call things that are of the devil of God. Oh, God did that to me. Serious? If you know the Father, you know he's not working to hurt you. You know he's not stealing, he's not killing, he's not the destroyer. Now, what has he done? He's given us life. He's given it to us abundantly. He wants us to be blessed. He wants to take care of us. Yes, he's a God of judgment. Of course he is. Yes, Jesus got angry when he was here in the earth. There is such a thing as the wrath of God. But one thing that you can always remember and underscore, he does not use the devil for anything. Do you know that people don't have a hard time understanding that if a minister were to get into sin, that the anointing of God on that man or woman's life would lift, would it not? Come on, yes or no? Yes. It's important to live holy before the Lord. And yet those same people that agree with that think from time to time God uses the devil. I can't think of anybody who's living a less holy life than the devil. Amen? Amen? Enough said. God does not use the devil. He never has and he never will. Now, people's attention is arrested when something happens. And that we've seen in people's lives. I've seen it in my own life from time to time throughout the years when, you know, you get lazy about something. Never in a real gross, obvious way necessarily, but little things. You back off your confession. For instance, we renewed our confession and decided we're going to take the word and start applying this again. We had always been speaking over our weather here and calling for a wet summer. And all of a sudden, we're dry. And what's going on? Ann mentioned it to me. She said, have you been praying? I said, you know what? I had not been doing that. So we're kicking it back in again. Amen. Little things like that that you can let slide or let slip. And then understand that, you know, if you're not doing what you know to do, yeah, but I'm so busy. I understand that. Write it down. And if you need to write it down, get it down. But if you need to be saying, if the Lord has instructed you to say certain things over your life, over your physical body, don't wait. Don't wait, you know, all right, so you get healed and everything's fine and dandy. Don't wait until something comes up again to start confessing God's word. Be saying it now. Do it now. Amen? Brian Bias stopped by yesterday. Y'all remember Brian? And, you know, they directed Camp Victory for years, and we were talking, they're doing really well, and I praise God. He's just a good man. Anyway, I showed him my wrist where I'd had that big bump on my wrist. And that was painful. I don't mind telling you. If I would reach down and push on it, oh, man, that hurt. And it would take all your strength away, you know? And that's not a good thing to have happen when you need to write sermons and you play tennis, okay? Now, the tennis isn't it. But then using the string trimmer, you know, washing the car or wiping the wheels off, whatever, you know, you do little things and you would notice your hands like, oh my goodness sakes, this is just really painful. And I testified to him how the Lord told me that I had been wearing that brace on my wrist and it hooks over your thumb and kind of pulls back on the tendon and wraps the wrist tight. And he said, don't use that. So I didn't use it. And he said, just put a wristband on. I was going to go work out. And I went out and I hit for a little while. And I sat down in the chair. I took the wristband off, And the thing was gone. And I'm not kidding. It has not been back. Okay? That thing stood off my wrist. And you say, well, is it a ganglion cyst? I don't know. They told me it would be around $8,000 to remove it. Serious? You can't just stick a needle in that thing and, you know, suck it out? That's the way I was thinking. Just pop the thing, you know? And now they don't pop. Anyway, so I was praising the Lord. I was just testifying about how God is good. And if you do what he tells you to do, something as simple as put a wristband on instead of a wrist tight wrist wrap, you would think if I had used the wrist wrap, that might have been better to hold it or possibly cause it to puncture or whatever. I don't know. I don't know where it went, and I don't really care where it went, tell you the truth. But anyway, so I praise God for his healing virtue. That wasn't God doing this to me to teach me something. We open doors many times through things in our life, and it can be a spiritual something, or it could be a natural something. I told you not to do that, son. You did it, and now you pay the price over it. And I've had the Lord tell that to me a few times, and you know, somehow or another, I don't know how my head sometimes doesn't hear the things I need to hear. You know, seems like it takes a couple of times of hurting myself sometimes, and you're all going, yeah, that's called being a blockhead, Pastor Dan. Yeah, you're right. But I've done it, and I'm like, oh, it'll be all right, you know. Don't do that. The Lord told me how many times, don't go out and talk with people when you've been preaching and you've gotten a little bit sweated up, like especially in the fall or during the wintertime. Don't go out there and stand out there and talk for a while. Did that one day. In the next morning, I woke up with a sore throat. Was that God? No, that was God saying, don't do it. Natural law, you cannot ignore natural law. There are natural laws that are set in motion. It's just like you don't fill up on donuts every morning. I don't. Don't look at me like I don't. I wish I could. Sometimes I just, oh, man, you know, Long John and a jelly-filled donut. Oh, thank you, Elnora. I appreciate that. But I never do. And I'm like, you know, but you can't eat like that and expect to stay in shape. You can't eat like that and expect to stay healthy. You know the old saying, you are what you eat. Well, you know why? Because your body's a big a container that food goes in this end and goes out that end. Amen. No, that's just God made it that way. It's not gross. It's not foul. And you know, whatever. That's the way it works. And your body assimilates things, keeps the nutrients, and you know, pulls the vitamins out of what you eat and all that, and the waste goes out. And if you don't get rid of stuff, poison stays in your body and it can kill you. Remember, I mean, the stuff that's hurting Americans and people throughout the world these days, you don't catch cancer. It's true. So, you know, the Lord says, don't eat that. Don't eat it. Yeah, but so-and-so eats it, and they're just fine. Bob Yandian and I were having this conversation when he was here one time. We sat down. He said, you know, a friend of his took vitamins all the time, seemingly looked healthy, and one day fell over dead of some kind of a weird, I don't know if it was a embolism, not an embolism, but what's the other one? Aneurysm. Embolism's when you go down like and come up too fast in the water. Yeah, bubble in the bloodstream or whatever. But an aneurysm died, and a young man who was in good condition, you know. Well, the fact is maybe the Lord had been speaking, not maybe, God always will give warnings about something that he wants you to stop. Listen. Listen to him. We can't automatically say, well, that was the devil. God was trying to warn you not to eat that, not to drink that, not to continue in that vein. So pay attention to what he's saying to you. You know, don't get hyper weird about every step you take. You know, God, should I take another step? And come on. You know, God expects you to live your life in faith, of course, trusting him, listening to him. Keep your ear attuned. You don't have to stand before the mirror in the morning or stand at your closet and say, okay, Lord, what do I put on today? Show me, lead me by your Holy Spirit what I should wear. You know, if I were God, I'd have him put a crazy looking stuff together, you know. But in Bible school, we saw that. This guy came to school and he's like, oh, the Lord told me what to wear today. I'm like, oh my gosh. You know, I didn't, whatever, to each his own, right? I mean, your taste is maybe, you know. But no, come on. Little common sense will tell you. Get dressed and get after the day. Do it neatly, but, you know, I mean, use your faith on that neighbor that needs to know Christ, not what shirt you should wear. Okay, a little practical stuff. 1 John chapter 4, let's go there. Verse number 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try or test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Now, in that confession of Jesus Christ coming in the flesh, do you remember in John chapter 1, verse number 14, the Bible said that the Word was made flesh? And in the first verse or two in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You could say the Word is still God. And so if the Word is God and the Word was made flesh, what does that say about Jesus? He was God made flesh. In fact, if you're right here in 1 John, just hold your place because we're coming right back here. Go over to 1 Timothy. I believe it's 1 Timothy. I didn't write it down. First Timothy chapter 3, I believe it is. And it's the last verse in that chapter, verse 16. Reads, and without controversy, 1 Timothy 3, verse 16. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest or manifested in the flesh. Do you see that? God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Now, that's all. Those are commas in that verse. Do you see that? And I'm going to tell you something right now, that where it's talking about God was manifested in the flesh, it's a comma. God was justified in the spirit. God was seen of angels. It's talking about Jesus, you know. God was preached unto the Gentiles, yes. God was believed on in the world, and God was received up into glory. Deity in the flesh. That is what separates Christians from the cults running around out there. Not everybody that says, I had a guy say to me one time, Jesus is Lord. And I said, yes, he is. But I knew what organization he was with. And I said, let me ask you something about that statement, Jesus is Lord. He said, well, I've received Jesus as my Lord. I said, oh, that's good. That's what you need to do. But let's just dissect that a moment. Who did you receive as your Lord? Well, Jesus. Who do you believe Jesus is? Well, he was a good man, a prophet. I said, hold it. If you do not believe in his deity, you try to strip him of his deity. Only deity could die for your sins, because only deity stayed sinless. Amen? So you see, there are some that say, well, yes, Jesus is Lord, but they don't believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. I can tell them from the Bible. Some people say, well, you can't say it. Yes, I can. They're not saved. Amen. Yeah, but they said Jesus is Lord. Only those that are saved by the Spirit can say Jesus is Lord. We're about to read right here go back to 1 John 4. Well, what about that? He's just got through saying there are many false prophets come into the world, deceivers. It's not good enough just to believe. That's what hooks people. It's not good enough just to believe that Jesus was a good guy. I'm a good guy. You're a good guy. You're good ladies. I mean, come on. Am I able to die for your sins? Absolutely not. It took deity in the flesh. You remember, the life of the flesh is where? It's in the blood. When the blood was shed, The blood that Christ shed was pure blood. The blood of the child and the blood of the mother never mingled. Jesus was conceived from on high. Mary was obedient to the point of she could have been stoned. Joseph really was contemplating that idea until he had a visit from the angel. I don't say he was, you know, going to stone her, but he had every reason in the world by the law to part ways with her. And the Lord revealed to him what happened. Hey, I'm not going to go into that whole thing again tonight, but that's an interesting study. An interesting study that Christ was literally placed into Mary's womb. You know, Mary, somebody said, well, wasn't it Mary's egg? No. You say, well, how in the world? Wait a minute. Yehovah is a word in Hebrew that is both masculine and feminine. Now, you can look that up. It's true. In what Mary was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, that was the full, the egg and the seed fertilized, placed into her womb. Mary herself couldn't have had anything to do with that part of it. It was supernatural. Otherwise, her part of her would have been part of Jesus. And he was the second Adam from on high. And so you look at that, you go, well, wait a minute, didn't know? I had a guy who was a scientist. He came up to me, he said, I see what you're saying, and you know what? That's true. And then he started to explain some scientific stuff to me, and I'm like, my eyes started to cross, you know. Serious? Well, that's cool. You know. I heard Roy Blizzard one time talking about the name Yehovah and how it's both masculine and feminine. He's a Hebrew scholar, spirit-filled Hebrew scholar, by the way. And I'm like, okay, that makes sense. That makes sense to me when I know that he is the complete picture. That's why in a marriage, a woman and a man, when they're married and they're functioning together in covenant, it's a little bit of heaven on earth when it's being done right. Amen. She's able to bring a completeness to my physical life. Not a helpmate, like do the dishes, woman. Wash my clothes, scrub the floors, get after it, and I'll make sure that you get fed tonight. Look out for that pan, here it comes. A helpmeet, not a helpmate. Meet is an old English word that means able to do something. A help or a helper or one who stands by my side. In fact, many of you have stood here as I've married people. And I'll say, this woman stands by your side, not under your feet. It's part of it. And it's understood that the man and the woman function together in the marriage and walk together, not her a step or two behind the man, do what I say. No. A help who's able, meet, to bring completion to the man. That's a big deal. That really is. Anyway, a little bit of marriage stuff for you there. Praise God. All right, so look at, where are we? Verse 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, where have you heard that it should come? And even now already is it in the world? Here's the verse everybody knows. You need to know this. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world hears them. You or we are of God. He that knoweth God hears us. He that is not of God heareth us not, heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So when we start talking about who this devil is. You know, it's important that you understand what's of God and what's of the devil. And don't you dare blame God for stuff the devil's doing. You don't thank God for sickness. God's not giving you sickness. You know that old book, Thank God for Everything, and it sold a lot of copies, and a lot of people were messed up by it. Guy handed me a copy of that after a service I did one day when we were on the road, and I remember he said, you need to read this. So I said, I'll take a look at it. I didn't know. I got into it a little ways, and he started telling me I should thank God for every, you know, sickness that comes into my life, the tragedies, all this stuff. Thank God for everything. Well, the word says that we are to thank God for everything that he does. You know, you give credit, Jesus said it this way, you give credit to Caesar for what Caesar has credit for or gets credit for. And give God the credit for what God has coming. In other words, I'm not going to thank Elnora for something Sharon does for me, or vice versa. Or go up and thank Ann for something that Eva gave to me. You thank the one who gave it. Thank God for everything. And the little, you could just, on the end of that, everything, it's like common sense. Everything that he does. Not stuff he hasn't done. Why in the world would I thank God for something that sickness, when he's redeemed me from sickness? God's not putting that on you. He's not a God that uses the devil. Amen? So the devil's name in scripture, you'll find it, Beelzebub. Beelzebul, those are words that are in the original language translation. Diabolos, Satan, Satan, however you want to say it. I of course, have given you the definition of diabolos. Dia means through, bolos means to throw or to cast dung. That's who he is. He takes the dung from your past and constantly is hurling it at you, trying to get you to go back and remember all the bad stuff that happened in your life. I found out today, it's an interesting word that's used in the book of Ezekiel, in the Hebrew, when it talks about the images or the idols that Israel was to stay away from. The word means, and it brings out, and I don't mean to be course by this, but here's what God thinks of idols, false images, and the devil himself. Well, the devil is nothing but a dung caster, okay? And you remember what Beelzebub meant? Lord of the, what do flies sit on? Okay, we all know. Images or idols, you can go look it up. Some of you have it on your Bible or on your phone right now. You can touch the word image and it'll give you, or it's on idol. It's on the word idol. Literally, what's brought out is a shape, a form, like a small, rounded form. And literally, listen to me, I'm not trying to be gross. It's literally pointing at dung. That's what God thinks of idols. They're dung to him. Now, Paul made reference to things that can be a problem or a roadblock in a Christian's life. Flip over to the book of Philippians chapter 3 quickly. Philippians 3, you remember this because you know that the word dung is used in the scriptures. And just understand where I'm coming from with this, because God's opinion of the devil is he's this pesky little stinking fly who his kingdom is, no, he doesn't have a throne here in the earth. He sits on the dung piles. That's all he's good for. He's the Lord of the flies. Literally, diabolos, to throw or to cast dung. It literally translates dung god. So if an idol is also making reference to a shape of dung, That's what God thinks of idols. I mean, that's what God thinks of anything that tries to take his place, and people give their attention to it, and they bow down to it, and will sacrifice things for it, their lives for the god of money. Mammon, you know. Things, possessions. As far as the Lord's concerned, all that stuff that's so great to people in this earth, he considers that dung. Now look what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. You remember this? Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count of all things. Sure, he suffered the loss of things. But it's interesting, whatever you lose, and if something is lost out of your life, and you don't think, well, I used to have a really nice car, and now I'm driving a piece of junk, just keep serving the Lord. God didn't take that car from you. Maybe what happened was you opened the door to the enemy by making it such an idol in your life. And it turned into a piece of junk because it became an idol. Not a piece of something else, but a piece of junk. An idol is a piece of junk. Amen. But look at the latter part of that verse right there. I do count them but dung. You see that? For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. There are roadblocks to your success in life. You have to count things dung. I know that sounds like, what's he talking about dung for? That's how the devil is viewed by our Father God. He's nothing more than this. And you remember the scripture says there's coming a day where we're going to go, that's the guy that deceived nations? Yeah, the little dung god. That little dung god, you know? And you remember in the scriptures it talks about the finger of God, talks about the hand of God, and it talks about the arm of God. Jesus cast out devils with the finger of God, right? What do you do with a fly? You ever find a dead fly, or you get up, you know, we used to do this in school, you'd find them, and you'd try to flick them off the desk. You know, you're like, get out of here. I went out the other day and I had this stupid horse fly. You know, I'm like, oh, man. They're irritating. So you need to identify the enemy when he shows up. Amen? The devil thrives on deception. We know that. It's his main tool. One of his main things that he does, though, is bring up people's past to him. Has he ever brought your past up to you? Anybody not have a past in here tonight? I didn't think there was anybody. Well, sure. He tries to bring up things from the past. He's tricky, so you have to be wise. You got to stay on the word. You got to recognize when he's trying to do something. Do you think the further along that you get in your walk with Christ, that he's going to just make it so obvious, I'm the devil and I've come to steal your finances from you? No, he's not going to do that. He's going to show up in some other fashion that looks okay. He's going to show up in some other way to try to steal from you. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And you need to keep your eyes open. Amen. So a knowledge of the word is essential. The Bible, the gospel, the euangelion, this message that we preach, in Hebrew it's the Bissurah. It's a good message. It's a good message of God's goodness, his agape chesed that's been extended to mankind. Oh, yeah. And underneath all that grace that's been extended, there's a lot of good, good things. So it outlines in this word, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, he tells us what's good, pure, holy, just, lovely, of a good report. And if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, he tells us to think on those things, right? The enemy's going to try to get you to think on other things. Recognize it. When you know the good, the pure, the just, the lovely, the good report, when you know what's right, what the word has to say, the other's easy to spot. The devil's easy to spot when you actually begin to realize how he wants to weasel his way into your life in some way. Recognize it. Recognize it. Let's give a couple of tricks that he uses. He will quote scripture, Matthew chapter 4, verse 6. You remember that when he quoted scripture to Jesus? Well, what did Jesus do? You should know right off the bat, the devil's quoting scripture. He gives his angels charge over you, keeps you in all your ways. And Jesus said, get behind me. Now, wait a minute. Jesus rebuked a verbal confession of scripture out of the mouth of the devil. Jesus used the book of Deuteronomy. See, any scripture taken out of context becomes a pretext. If you can take the word out of context and try to make it say anything you want it to say. That's not that hard to do. People come up with all sorts of crazy stuff. I mean, I don't have time to go into all those, but there are a lot of goofy doctrines floating around, and they're all based on misunderstandings or misinterpretations of words. So here's one in John 11, verse 30. No, we're going to do that in the next one. But the quoting of scripture, write down Matthew chapter 4, verse number 6. And that was at the temptation that came to Jesus when he was 40 days and 40 nights. And the devil came and tempted him. Remember, Jesus defeated each one of those attempts with the word of God. Deuteronomy, he used the Old Testament and whomped the devil. Somebody came along and said, the Old Testament, that's not any good for us anymore. It's still God's word. You just need to know how to read it and how to understand what types are being pointed out, because the Old Testament will reveal things about New Testament events that if you're not looking for the type, you'll miss it. So types are all over the word of God. God does it that way. The second thing that the enemy will do, one of his tricks, is he tries to get you to look at circumstances instead of the answer or the word. And just write this down, Matthew 14, verses 29 through 30. That was when Peter stepped out onto the water and he began to look around, okay, you remember, at the wind and the waves, and it messed him up. He got his eyes off of the Lord and he began to sink. But the other one is in John 11, verse 39, at the tomb of Lazarus, and Mary, or Martha, it was Martha, said, Lord, but he stinks, right? She was saying, you know, Jesus just said, I'm the resurrection and the life, and here's what's going to happen. Where is he? But Lord, he's been dead this number of days, and he stinks. She was looking purely at the physical, at the way things were in the natural, and don't you come at me and say you've never done that. You have done it, and I've done it. You get your eyes off of the word, and you catch your eye onto the natural, and if you're not careful, it'll steal your faith. The enemy uses that little trick, and we have to learn how to keep our eyes focused on the Lord. Amen? I'm going to stop right there tonight because I really feel like there's a lot more that I can give, but I want you to be wise to the tricks of the enemy. Recognize who he is. Don't look for a devil behind every bush, because not everything that you see happening is the devil. There are works of the flesh. Well, now somebody say, please stand to your feet. Somebody say, well, isn't that the devil? No, they're called works of the flesh. Now, he is promoting it. Absolutely, he is. Sure. Does the devil promote drunkenness? Yes, he does. Did you say no, Ann? Ann said no. We are not sipping saints, hallelujah, just so you know. and that's on tape to boot, you know. No, of course, she didn't say it right. Does God promote the other works of the flesh that are listed in the book of Galatians chapter 5, the works of the flesh? No, he promotes the fruit of the Spirit, right? Sure. Not everything that happens. You know, if you get a flat tire, you go, well, devil, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. It wasn't the devil. It was a nail in the road. Now, I will guarantee you, the Lord will even tell you to avoid certain places where you may just want to drive and thereby avoid a flat tire. You ever had the Lord tell you not to do something and you didn't do it? You found out there was an accident down there when you would have been going through that place? I've had that happen to me. So listen. He's that traffic reporter in the sky. He's looking down. He says, don't go three blocks down. There's a problem down there. Take a left right here. And you know, okay, Lord, I don't know why I'm going down this road. Right? Anyway, we'll go into that more next week. So bow your head with me and let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you tonight and give you glory tonight that we are wise with the word of God. We're not ignorant of the devices of the devil. And Father, I thank you that we're not looking for devils everywhere we go. No, we are looking to enforce the kingdom and the rights that we have in the kingdom as we walk in the authority of the name of Jesus, and greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Father, we're not looking for a devil behind every tree. But Lord God, anytime anything shows up that is of the devil, we'll be quick in the authority that we have in Jesus' name to deal with it. So, Father, I praise you tonight and thank you tonight for the authority that we have in that name that's above all names, the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is above the name of cancer. You realize that? The name of Jesus is a name that's above the name, the thing that's called poverty. The name of Jesus is above the name that's called marriage problems. The name of Jesus is above any sickness, any disease. Any problem that you can have, the name of Jesus is greater than any of it. So pull into that. Pull into the fact that you have the greater one dwelling on the inside of you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Can I hear an amen?